Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
Good. David, really the beginning of the season, you were on NBA referees for their inconsistency in terms of how they officiate and use the rule book. And this is very important to you because you have players text you and call you multiple times a day, every day during the NBA season. Of course, during the offseason when you work with them. Hey, we're preparing for this game against so-and-so. And one of the things you always say is like, don't even look at Star X. Don't even breathe on them. Don't do anything because they're going to call a foul. And that lack of consistency by the refs makes it hard for young players and makes it hard for you to do your job in coaching these guys and what they want to do to get better. But something crazy happened last night in the game. Lakers scored 150 points. Pacers scored 145. But the Lakers went to the free throw line 50 times in a game. That's a lot. Oh, 43, excuse me.
Was it?
43.
43, yeah. 38 of 43, yeah.
40, that's a lot of free throws, David. Like
in regulation.
Right, not in even regulation. Overtime. What was going on in that game?
All right, so to be specific, my biggest concern with referees to start the year was with many players, and certainly the star players, like you said, you couldn't touch them. And it was... You know, I'm not someone, neither are you, that thinks that the older guys, of which I am part of that clan now, oh, the game was so much tougher back then, whatever. Well, you could touch people back then.
Correct.
Yeah. And now we've come the last 2 weeks. I just heard, Halliburton said last night after the game, like, you can get away with a lot more now than you could before. But I had players noticing this about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, as I noticed that they can be more physical and not often get the whistles. Nothing.
Zion noted it too. He said that after a game. He's like, because he said, oh, yeah, the vets told me they're getting ready for the playoffs. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So last night, the Pacers foul too much anyway. The Lakers have two very smart players and talented ones in LeBron and AD. And LeBron's not what he used to be. He's still brilliant. And a good player, very, very good player, just not close to what he was once. AD is a man-child, you know?
Yeah.
He's a man-child that's a full man. But 43 free throws. Indiana wasn't – I thought Indiana probably fouled 80% of the time. I just thought the Lakers did two. And so we would have had a game if they were calling it consistently both ways where there were 80 free throw shots. Indiana, remember, both these teams are 1-2. They lead their respective conferences. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. In points in the paint.
Yep.
I mean, Indiana's number one, Lakers number two. Okay? But only one of the team who's attacking all the time kept getting the free throw line. And Rick Carlisle talked about it after the game. Tyrese did a little bit. I don't know if some of the others talk. But that was, as one agent texted me today, people, he doesn't realize how much I'm talking to a lot of other people, too. He wrote to me, people think the league is just trying to make sure the Lakers make the playoffs. Like, I know, my guy, why there's concern about this. Yeah. It's very lovely of him to think that I was that naive. And I'm not at all someone who normally says that. But there was, I think just a few weeks ago, there was an article over the last 10 years, how many more free throws they've taken. Now they have employed Kobe and then they have LeBron. I understand that, but it was a big disparity, I believe. So the league is going to be getting a lot of complaints today, and maybe they're handing out some fines, because I thought Rick was handling it very professionally, Rick Carlisle, but still, it wasn't a good look, I didn't think. Everything was a whistle, and then on the other end, very little was a whistle.
Right when Henry had just finished his book, he got on the pod and talked about ref games, right? And that is something that the older players in the league have mastered. They just know how to, whether it's hook a player's arm underneath theirs to make it appear as though the defensive player is initiating it, when no, you, offensive player, have grabbed my arm and hooked it under yours, but ref didn't see it.
It's not even that subtle, Gerard. A lot of times it's just they initiate the contact and know they're going to get the call.
Also true.
When there should be no call or even offensive foul, the rookies, the young players don't get away with that.
Nope.
The veterans, the stars do 90% of the time some big number like that.
And as you often say, and we say on this show, refs make calls they don't see. Just because a player falls down doesn't mean he was hit. Sometimes he trips over his own feet. Like, that happens. Like,
or it's just a no call.
Correct.
Yeah. If you're sliding, okay, I'm guarding, I'm attacking you. You're sliding left to right, and I change up and I run over your feet. I don't think that's a foul on you.
Correct.
If you intentionally stepped, well, that's 100% foul, maybe a flagrant. But if you're allowed to be in your space. I'm sure they do this in soccer. They intentionally collide legs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
The difference in our good sport is that you just get two free throws for it. And your terrible sport,
no.
You get a chance for a goal, which is
depends on where it happens. If you get tackled in the penalty box, yes, you get a
No. It's not, I don't mean tackling penalty. I mean when I purposely trip over your leg, I get a penalty for it, right? Okay. Separate from that, there's a whole nother issue, Gerard. I texted you guys last night, and that is, and we've talked about this, I think maybe once before or twice before, the delayed call is really weird to me.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why. I know why we're doing it concept of a clean game.
Right, right, right.
If the ball goes in, they got their 2 points, be happy with that, play on. The delayed call is so obvious now. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good for basketball. We talk about calling what you see. Well, I saw it, but I'm not going to call it.
Right.
That's awkward. Mm-hmm. Creating a confusion with the players. And I don't think it's a good look. If it's a foul, it's a foul, whether it goes in or not. Hey, team, quit fucking fouling. But if you do it, I'm going to call it. Especially when it's as egregious as a lot of these are, when they don't call it unless it goes in. And you'll see it. As it bounces around, the referee is looking. The millisecond it bounces out, they raise their
hand. Correct.
The whistle.
Yep.
I mean, that's fucked up.
I agree.
I see it very obviously.
Yes. If it's a foul, it's your point. It shouldn't matter what the end result of the play is.
Correct.
Like, that's irrelevant. So like, if it's a foul, it's a foul. It's the same thing in football. When I did you mention, like, same thing. Don't, we don't want to let the freedom of play go. Yeah, but if, and in football, it's worse because the lead up to a goal could take quite several seconds before it actually happens. And I'm like, whoa.
Drives me crazy.
But this was happening here. Then call it. They score, so it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's madness. It's madness. Refereeing across all sports has taken quite a bit of a turn. And you can see why fans have conspiracy theories in their head about refs are trying to screw my team or whatever. And it's like, well, when you do shit like this.
Right. So to that point, Gerard, I say fans are always going to make up stupid shit because they're fans. But don't make it so easy for them to do it.
Right.
Right? They're going to come up with some reason why. Listen, bigotry works the same way. Let's not give them a reason that's authentic as to be bigoted, but they're going to come up with a reason. Fans are always going to blame referees, but this is an easy one that we should be able to taking off. Is let's call the fouls that we see. If we're going to call one game more physical than the next, they'll figure that out quickly. Mm-hmm. Do it for both teams, which I don't think the cheating for the Lakers.
Right.
Boy, would that be a devastating thing to learn otherwise. But the league needs to look into it. The problem is when you have a league denying things like rest is a weapon, how do we take them seriously when they say, well, there wasn't any one side to the cause? Yeah. Like, how do you believe anything they say?
And this is the problem, right? It has a credibility issue. And as we continue down this path, you know, again, as Henry always says, oh, we're supposed to just believe you guys because you just said so. It's like,
right.
Like,
And just, I want to throw this out there too. I wrote this on a Facebook page the other day. So I've been watching the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And in my office right now with five TVs, I'll have an NCAA game on or two or three or four. An NBA game on or two or three or four. I only have five. And G League game sometimes. Okay. So I wrote, college, every decent college team will beat any high school team by 50 plus points. You can name the score. Any G League team is beating any of these college teams by 50 plus points. And I love the pushback I might get sometimes as if they don't realize the G League is loaded with guys that were fucking great in college 4 or 5 years ago. They didn't get worse. Mm-hmm. None of these guys got worse as players. They're all much better now. And the NBA teams would beat any G League team by 50 plus points. The worst NBA team, you want to say the Pistons? Do you want to say the Wizards? Mm-hmm. Like, do you realize how talented those teams are?
Very good players on those teams.
And this is my point is, the game is in good hands at talent-wise. We're loaded. LeBron was talking last night, Gerard, about like Miles Turner and AD are picking popping, man. And they're blocking shots at the rim. And they're handling a full court. And Siakam is a 6'9 power forward with guard skills, scoring 36 and 12 rebounds. LeBron himself is his own thing, right? Like the level of ability is just amazing.
Well, that's the thing.
They owe it to us to call a clean game so we can enjoy these talented guys.
What is any college team doing with Anthony Davis? Like what?
Oh my God!
Like what are they doing?
What are they doing with Kyle Kuzma?
Correct. Like
right. Like are you kidding me? Like Tyus Jones was a good player at Duke.
Right. Yeah.
He's way. It's not in the same world. Yeah. I wasn't thinking of Anthony Davis. I should have. You're right.
It's just like
what I was thinking is, they were one of the better teams when he was healthy. But like Joel Embiid.
Like
okay, you're gonna have four guys on him that won't matter.
He's gonna foul out your entire team.
Right, you're gonna. Well, by the way, a team yesterday had like four guys foul out. Houston, you're gonna force him the 15 footer. Okay, that really is a layup for him.
Exactly,
and they still can bully you at the rim. Like this, take the worst college team. Like look at Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, and everyone recruited the Thompson twins, right? And they're big guys. And come on, there's no college team to play with 50 points.
It's wild, man. But you know,
I should add on my post, Daryl Morey wrote, this is true or something like that on my Facebook page. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, first of all, comparison fans love to do this nonsense. It's just, this is not about fans being dumb. Like it's nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, you get so passionate about something and you're so excited when you're watching it. It's like, oh, look at this. And it's like, yeah, but the games are only the same in that a round ball goes into a round hoop. That's it. Like the level of talent it's night and day.
Right. People used to say the best college team could beat the worst NFL team. This was
right.
I don't know if they say this in the last 10 years, but I was growing up
a lot. Yeah.
And I used to always say, wait a second, the same league that won't even take you your first 3 years because you're probably going to get hurt, but we're going to lose to you. No.
Yeah.
Like exactly. we have are older guys in the NFL. They've all played at least 3 years of college, only gotten stronger, faster, quicker, all of it, right? And the schemes we play, I don't think the average person appreciates the level of talent disparity that exists.
And the jump, huge. Right, David? Every level that you progress in sport, and we talk about basketball here, the jump is a chasm. Like college to G League to the NBA, like the worst NBA player. Do you know how good that person is at basketball? Like, really good.
And expert at something often, not expert, very, very good. Yeah. So anyway, we just want our officials to, again, if they're fouling, call it every time. Mm-hmm. And then it's on the coach to either A, get them to stop fouling, or B, put their asses on the bench.
Right. And get someone who won't foul. Right.
And get someone who won't foul. Yep. But officials being inconsistent, it kind of ruined the product a little bit.
No doubt. And, and the eyes will be on the officials as we get closer to the playoffs here. And as we get closer to the end, and as we wind down the end of the regular season, these games are all mattering for just about everything. The only team who's cruising on easy street right now is Boston because ain't nobody catching them. And they're locked in where they are. I mean, not officially yet, but more than likely they will. Everybody else is fighting to figure out, am I 2, am I 3, am I 4? Am I going to stay in the play-in? Am I not? And it's crazy. And one team, David, that is doing that, Golden State Warriors, they lost to Minnesota last night. They are only a game ahead of the Houston Rockets. Draymond Green was asked after the game if he's worried about Houston. He said, no, he's not worried. I would argue, Draymond, I would be worried about Houston if I were you. Because, you know, listen, the
NBA... Well, you, to be fair, he could have just been saying, I can't control Houston.
He could have been, but...
Right. I understand your point.
Right.
Houston's coming, my man. 9-1, last 10.
Correct.
But Draymond can't do anything like that. Matt, he was just angry.
They have to worry about themselves, no doubt. But I bet you,
right,
knowing Ime Udoka, I bet that clip of Draymond saying, I don't care, but we ain't worried about them, I bet that's on a loop in Houston's video session. And when they play in a couple weeks here, April 4th, that game's going to matter for sure. And listen, that the Rockets have issues that we talked about before. But look, 9-1 you mentioned in the last 10, this team is coming and they compete hard and they guard.
They really defend. They care about defense. Mm-hmm. What happened to Jamari Smith Jr.?
He got suspended because he and, oh God, who did he get into words with? It was just up on my thing over here.
Yeah. I just swamped yesterday with college stuff too. So
yeah, he's going to miss two games, but he'll be back in time for that game. So no worries about that. But yeah, just, you know, fellas getting a little too hot under the collar at each other during games. You know, we know how that stuff happens. But anyway, Warriors. In that game against Minnesota last night, a game they could have won, David. So the talk after the game, Steve Kerr was asked, well, listen, you had a lead. As the league started dwindling, why didn't you just get Steph back in the game? He only ended up playing, I want to say, 32 minutes, like an amount that most people would consider is not significant enough. So this is what Steph said after the game. I want to play as many minutes as I'm fresh and able to. So I'm a little bit surprised knowing that they were going on a run. Our lead was withering away. Now, Steve Kerr was also asked about this after the game, and he said, we can't just expect to ride Steph game after game after game. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. We can't expect him to play 35 minutes. If you want to say that him playing 30 instead of 32 is a difference between a win and a loss, I totally disagree with that. We're trying to win the game, and we're trying to keep him fresh, too. And then Steph also said, look, I played the whole fourth quarter against Indiana, and it didn't work out. This didn't work out against Minnesota either. We got to find somewhere in the middle. And I think, like, the reality is Steph as a competitor realizes, I only got so many peak years of this left, and we don't want to piss away another season like this. And it's like, because they, whether rightfully or wrongly, David, believe if we're just in the dance, we have a chance because of who we are, Golden State Warriors. Now, you and I disagree with that, with them, because we just don't think they're good enough as a team, but they're allowed to believe whatever they want. There's a little bit of both, right? Kerr is right in that they're trying to win the game and also keep him fresh, not play him a lot. But it's also, I mean, if you don't think the difference is between 30 and 32, then what's the difference between 34 and 32, right? Like, now, super smart scientific people can get on here and say, well, actually, the chances of him increasing an injury, whatever they are, increase or decrease, whatever the situation may be. But I think there is, right, there is some middle ground, and there's art and science at play here with getting him in the game. Because as usual, when he's on the floor, they outscore their opponents. When he's on the bench, they get outscored. On the floor, +6. On the bench, -10.
So, first of all, it might have been a night off, but the game before that, Indiana, the Warriors were run out of the gym. They were exhausted. Exhausted.
Pacers play too fast for them. Play way too fast.
They play too fast. They move too fast. The ball moves too fast. They were physical. With Curry, he was 6 of 18 from three, and I think 9 of 24 for the game. 25 points on 24 shots. Mm-hmm. Big win for Indiana. The average person isn't thinking about what's Curry going to do next, but that's Steve Kerr's job. Mm-hmm. You said it. There is a science to this. There is someone factoring all these things in, mm-hmm. and. I think it's really important that they recognize that to get to the playoffs and have Curry get injured, that's not helping anything. No. I was talking to someone today, a college player, who had a very, 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 like, NBA player at some point whenever he comes out, I think. This was this morning. I've been telling him to take a week, 10 days off. They just lost in the tournament, so take some time off. And I really stressed it, like, just enjoy the nice weather you're having, mm-hmm. whatever. And he said to me, he's like, Coach, do you think if I – because these guys all want to train the next day. Do you think I could aggravate my stress fracture? Because he had a stress fracture this year. And I said, well, I'm not a doctor, but I look at it this way. If, let's say, you're afraid to burn yourself and you light matches all the time, you smoke stuff that needs fire, you light firewood in your fireplace mm-hmm. all the time, Compare the chance of getting burned that way to never smoking, never doing a lighter, never lighting a match. You could get burned. There's things happening in the environment, but you lessen your chances considerably. And so I think Steve Kerr is saying, I don't want to burn Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. That'd be really disastrous for us. And I think he's also saying, and if we can't survive those 2 minutes without him,
we got bigger problems.
We're going to get smoked down the playoffs. Because if we make the playoffs, I can't play him 44 minutes. He's not 30 years old anymore. Wait, 35 now?
35.
Yeah. And so we're just getting smoked out then. We're trying to figure out how to survive now so that we can exist in the postseason when he plays 35 then, because there's always going to be more time off. And so I just think Steve Kerr knows better than us. I listen to him.
No doubt.
And Curry handled that great too.
Yeah. No, listen, he's always going to say the right thing and, you know, and – but, you know, he's a competitor, right? So he's going to also say, look, you know, if I can be out there like and help us win, I want to do that. Look, the reality of it is that, and we talked about this, even when they kind of had that little streak, remember, David, where they're like, ooh, they're winning a bunch of games, you and I had said, but they haven't beaten anybody of consequence, right? The only team they beat in the top six was Phoenix at home on a last-second buzzer beater, right, essentially, but by Steph. Nobody else of any consequence.
They're an okay team.
Right.
They're an okay team.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'll have some nice wins. Mm-hmm. They'll have some surprising losses. That was not a bad loss.
No. Minnesota's really good.
Indiana beating them up wasn't great.
No.
So, Indiana's good.
Yes.
But the matchup is bad for Golden State because they just wore them down.
No doubt. Today on True Hoop, Henry had an awesome article come out titled Five Solid Years of Improvement, the Half Decade of Hard Work That Makes an NBA MVP. And, you know, one of Henry's great gifts in writing is how he uses analogies to sort of make it simple and plain so that people understand. Because, you know, what David does for a living, folks, is very complicated and complex with his players and how to get them better. One of my favorite stories you told, and it made the piece, was you talking to a young NBA player about, okay, how's it going to take you to get to an all-star level? Oh, well, you got to develop your handle. And you're telling him, yeah, it'll take about 3 years before you get to that level. And it's just like...
I really... You're going to laugh at this. I think I told him before that Henry was joining me. Okay. And I forgot to tell Henry that I think it was
either way, it ain't happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to take you some time.
Yeah, and here's what's really great about that, Gerard. This player, who was a lifelong point guard, plays for his national team at the senior level, like amazing player. He's having a great season this year. He didn't bat an eye when I said that. Like, he understands, and he's really, really good with the ball. But like, there's Kyrie, in my opinion.
Right.
Okay. So we're not going to get him.
Right.
It's fair to say.
Correct.
Yeah. No one on this planet
is the greatest handler ever. Yes.
Yeah. He's right. He's probably better at ball handling than almost anyone will be at anything ever. He's Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
as a songwriter. Like, a unparalleled success, brilliant beyond belief. That's Kyrie's one. So, but we can still be amazing. We just can't be Kyrie amazing.
Correct.
It's going to take about 3 to 4 years to get that when you're 22 years old or 21 years old, whatever. Like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard game. And then you have to define it. Right. Here's what you have to do.
Right.
In these scenarios, you got to do this, this, and this. And it just, yeah. But I thought, speaking of the way Henry writes.
Oh, beautiful.
I thought the cherry tree.
Oh, the cherry tree and a sequoia, right? Amazing. Like, and that's the idea.
Amazing.
A cherry tree initially looks a lot better than a sequoia, right? And so if you want the immediate now results and you want something pretty in your yard, get a bunch of cherry trees because they'll look great. But in 25, 30 years, that sequoia is going to look pretty good, right? Like, it's going to look really nice and it'll far out surpass the cherry tree, right? Like, it just will. And it'll last longer and all the different things. And this is the idea we talk about with player development. None of this stuff is linear. So it's, and all the examples he used, incredible, right? So the Knicks in their gym at the same time have Kevin Knox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And at the time, the thought process was, well, Knox is 3 or 4 inches taller. We need size. He seemed like, to their eyes and their evaluation process, the more ready-made player to help us win today. Well, it didn't quite work out. And you couldn't quite see what Shai could become. I bet they'd want that do-over now, right? Because look at Shai. Shai could be the MVP. And even if he doesn't win it, like, he's perennial, all-NBA, top whatever, two player in the league.
First team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. But again, hindsight's always 20/20, right? You have to believe in, we have a strategy. We think we can help this player reach his full potential. We see the potential there. All of those things are difficult when you weigh in the fact that a lot of these people, GMs, coaches, whoever, they're not worried about the long term. How do I not get fired tomorrow? Well, bet the sure thing. not so much.
I had, there's a lot to it. I will say, I loved Kevin Knox coming.
A lot of people
did.
I
don't remember Shai Gilgeous at all. Kevin Knox now is doing okay in the G League. I think development really matters. So I don't know if Kevin would have been better had he not gone to New York to begin with. But I do know what you said is exactly right. I remember, and I probably have said this before, maybe not on the air, when the Kings were looking at Tyreke Evans, their best player was my kid, Kevin Martin. Mm-hmm. So I had a say in this behind the scenes. And I wanted them to draft a guy named Steph Curry out of Davidson.
Kind of worked out pretty well for Steph.
And they were considering Ricky Rubio, not Steph. Or I even said trade down. If you're not willing to draft Steph at 5, my memory serves they drafted Tyreke at 5. So I said draft Steph at 5. If you're not willing to do that, trade down and draft the kid out of UCLA named Drew Holiday.
Pretty good.
Steph, I told them, Steph plays great next to Kevin Martin offensively. I didn't say the Splash Brothers, but that's they would have been. At this point, Kevin Martin was much better than Klay Thompson. If you are worried, but Kevin's not a plus defender, go then draft Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. Trade down. Get him at 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. I think he went 16 that year, by the way. Drew was in my gym that mm-hmm. summer, so I knew he wasn't going top 10. And then you'll have the defensive guy you want next to this top offensive player. I liked Ricky Rubio. I did. I thought he was going to be a good defender.
Which
he just couldn't score. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Martin did the scoring. I asked Kevin what he wanted, and I love to make fun of him now. He wanted Tyreke Evans because he's like, Coach, all of it's on me every night. I'd love some offensive help. And I said, Kevin, that's why you're a player. Management's got to think down the road. So one of the executives in the room brought up Ricky Rubio. And one of the other executives who was higher than him but had been there longer, which means he had a shorter contract, said, the only guy who does want to draft Tyreke out of hand is the only one that has a contract that goes beyond this year. And so they all drafted the guy, got him 25-5, and they celebrated with a parade and everything else. I clearly think of all the guys they could have taken, even Rubio, they probably picked poorly. I like Tyreke. They also didn't develop anything either there. But yeah, they could have had Steph. They could have been, the Splash Brothers could have been in Sacramento.
Or you could.
And the other story I want to tell you is, I was told from an Orlando Magic official who's no longer there, but he was there a long time. He told me to my face, I was running a camp for them, for the Magic in Tampa, and the Magic had a representative there. And he said, I said, how things go with Amari Stoudemire? Because he worked out for them. He's like, he got killed. And I want to say he worked out against a guy named Ryan Humphrey, who played at Notre Dame, was a junior. Amari was coming out of high mm-hmm. school. And I think it was Ryan Humphrey. They said Ryan killed him. And I said, who gives a fuck? I said, oh, no, we're not going to draft tomorrow. I said, what are you talking about? Not that I thought he should have drafted tomorrow. Right, right. I just didn't think that was the reason.
Right.
One's a high school kid.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here?
Right.
Of course, a kid that's 21-year-old beat him.
Right.
Like, but down the road, Amari Stoudemire probably is going to be this great player. It didn't. The guy they drafted, I think, was Humphrey. He didn't last very long.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, Amari is a Hall of Fame level talent.
Correct.
Yeah. And did really well in his career. First team All-NBA as a center, and he was a four-man growing up. Yeah.
And of course, Henry in the article mentioned Tim Hinkie. I encourage everybody to read it and really dive into it and understand why it is so difficult for teams to be good. And it's because teams struggle with the long-term approach and view. And it's because of things that David mentioned. The only one person in the Kings organization who had a long-term deal. So everyone is self-motivated first. How do I save my own ass? I save my own ass by betting on and I'm doing air quotes for those who are listening and can't see, the sure thing. What sure thing? Who knows what a sure thing is, right? But if you believe, hey, we got something here, this could be great. I mean, we use this example all the time. Nikola Jokic, 40 dudes got picked ahead of him. Like, jeez, who would have, Denver, pretty smart picking him up there, right? I mean, it's just, and the list goes on and on and on over the players that people just see him like, this guy can help us right now. And it's like, yeah, but what does right now matter? You're going to get yourself an extra win or two? Great. Like, meanwhile, here is Nikola Jokic, generational, scratching any team he's on. They're going to win 50 plus games every year that he's healthy in his prime. Oh, what a surprise. Denver, back in the top seed in the Western Conference. Probably going to represent the West again in the postseason. Like, yes, and I get it. Easy to say, haha, Jokic. But there's so many players who that could have been, and teams just their inability to be able to do that because of the fear of being fired or David looking stupid. That limits people in the long run.
I'm mentoring is the wrong word. One of my closest friends on the planet is up for a big college job. I can't talk about it until he gets it or doesn't get it, but he's up for it. So he just interviewed and he texted me that the AD said, I'm not looking to make a splash hire. And what he means by that is I'm not just looking to win the press conference. I want to do something that's going to last a long time. Mm-hmm. The NBA, ironically, has a draft that's supposedly based on projection, which is why it's nonsensical to listen to anyone who says, oh, this guy's not ready for the NBA. Right. Who cares? Okay. The irony is they're so bad at the development part. And it does take, but to use Henry's terms, they kill most of their sequoias.
Yep. Sure do.
Before they ever get to be the fully grown. The best programs, OKC's got one cooking right now, mm-hmm. really good. Boston, the best ones are doing a better job of it. Like, it's like any business. I think I've mentioned before, I was talking to a CEO of a non-top five accounting firm, but a big accounting firm. They're all over the world, but they're not top five. And he literally told me, because they're based in Atlanta, so you could figure out, I don't know the name of the team anymore, the firm anymore. He said, we're hiring Georgia Tech accountants and paying them Georgia Tech salaries, but we're trying to turn them into Harvard, Ivy League accountants. Because it would cost us, I think the numbers were, this a long time ago, $150,000 for the Georgia Tech grad. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost us at least $250,000 for the Ivy League one. So we'd rather pay the less money and invest in these guys mm-hmm. and turn them into every bit the one. That's exactly the model that everyone should be building. But we just don't see it. In fact, Henry's so smart. We're working on a big article coming up. I can't go into detail yet. You got, if you check your WhatsApp, you'll see
it. Yeah.
Okay. So it's about college. Mm-hmm. So colleges have NIL money. This is what I can't say. There's lots of talk about spending money on the players directly to them. Mm-hmm. But what are they doing investing in those players beyond it? Mm-hmm. Probably very little. Mm-hmm. Now the players have to do it themselves, or they'll have all this money in the bank potentially, unless they don't hire the right accountant, the right financial planner, people like me and a physio, whatever, take care of your body. Like, you have to invest in more than just the player directly. There's got to be indirect investment. And one thing I've said before about OKC, I remember hearing years ago, how they sometimes would have spa days for their players, which I really love. We've written about this. Every kind of acupuncturist and therapist, whatever, to help their players. No basketball. Mm-hmm. And then they have other days where they change the code. You can't get your fix here today, guys.
Yeah.
You need, and they all want to.
Of course.
Taking a day off is tough for them.
Very hard.
Of a certain age. But you need to. You need to recharge sometimes. And they should be taught that. Like, it's okay. You're not soft. Mm-hmm. You're smart.
No, it's listen, again, we talk about all the time. The teams that kind of get a handle on this and understand that, like OKC's, like Boston's, they're going to be poised for success long term and continued success, right? David's idea of you win 50 to whatever amount of games every year, and in the really good years when things work well, you're competing, you're actually going to be a title contender, right? Give your fans hope that you're excellent. What the Spurs were for many years, right? When they made the playoffs, I don't know, 20 consecutive years or whatever the number was. That's what every fan hopes, right? That they get one of these days. But
Right. I'm hearing, for example, on this subject that, you know, Boston doesn't at least get to the finals, not win at all. They might make some changes. That would be stupid. Because this team is going to be right there every year until one of these guys ages out, which is a while.
Drew's got some
years left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derek White is doing great. Like, you guys can be great every year. Dallas did it. Dallas went through a stretch thing like 50 or more, like 9 or 10 straight years. They only have one ring to show for
it. It's fine.
And they won one loss in the finals. Yeah, it's great.
I bet those fans, if you ask them, that 10-year period, however long it was the happiest time they were as Mavericks fans.
I couldn't agree more. Like, what a dream. Like, man, if you go back and say, okay, I'm going to give you 10 years of playoffs, we're going to 2 finals winning one, but winning a lot of series, it's a bunch of good nights. That's a season ticket that has value.
You know?
Like, you're going to see something entertaining and lots of wins. And for a fan, losses can be good too.
For sure.
Because you have drama.
Yeah.
You know the ending in sports. You know the ending in most movies.
Yeah. No, it's, listen.
You don't know the ending of the Game of Thrones scenes. I can't count on the star living in those scenes, but the good guy, like, I never get stressed watching a movie
right.
when I see who the star
You're
is.
Like, okay, we're good. I know who's going to win.
No, Agent Johnson's in trouble. Right, in Star Trek, wearing the red, Eddie Murphy does that in Coming to America, right? Not Coming to America, in Boomerang.
Yeah, Boomerang, yeah.
Boomerang, like Agent Johnson, like he's going down with Kirk and McCoy and Spock. Agent Johnson ain't going to make it, right? but in sports, you don't know.
Exactly.
That's drama.
Exactly.
To me, that's the allure of it.
No, that's what every fan base should hope for. But, you know, unfortunately, you got people in charge who don't see the forest for the trees, my friends. All right, folks, we'll be back after this brief commercial break. All right, David, we have so many crazy tight races to look at here in the postseason. We got 13, 14 games left for most teams. And again, as I said to start the show, only the Celtics know, feel pretty confident about where we're going to end up. Everybody else, I don't know. Like, anything can happen. So I thought we'd look at some scenarios and figure out who can be where and sort of dig a little deeper into how these teams were playing of late and what do we kind of see. So the Cavaliers have been without Donovan Mitchell. He has a nasal fracture. I don't know what, you know, he can wear a mask, all that. Bradley Beal had that. And they can get it reset during All-Star break. And, you know, he's okay. But they've been kind of struggling of late, David. Lost three straight, three of their last 10. Their metrics, advance-wise, in terms of the net rating, which had been high all year, even when they were playing poorly, they're dropping now. They're like seventh or eighth in terms of net rating, which matters. Is there a chance, David, they fall out of the top three?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to someone inside the locker room the other day. I was texting. Wasn't positive at all. It wasn't positive at all. So they had a nice win last week, I think, in Indiana, but they've not been doing good. With the injury to Donovan alone, but I've just heard there's some chemistry issues. Like it's a bit of a messy situation, and all the teams around them are, you know, between forget about one and two, three and six are
for sure.
They're good teams. Indiana's good, and Orlando's good.
Three and a half games separate Cleveland from Indiana from the source of three and the six. The Knicks are only a half game behind the Cavaliers. The Magic are only one game back. And as I mentioned, the Pacers three.
They could
half.
Lose both those spots.
Easily. Yeah, they could.
So that would get them to five. Mm-hmm. Right? So it would be possibly. And then Miami's coming also.
Yeah.
Miami's right there with Indiana.
Yep.
So I think Miami's tie in the win column, one more loss, right?
They're tied in the loss column and one less win.
Okay, that's what I said.
Oh, did you?
So, I'm kidding. That's what I always tell my kids. That's what I said, but I didn't. It could be New York at three. It could be Orlando at three, with the other one at four. And that matters too, because Orlando, we'll talk about this probably next week. Jonathan Isaac is really coming on. Like, he, talk about X Factor.
Would you say best defender in the league right now? In the minutes he plays.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And that's a problem for anyone. It's a problem for Julius Randle. It's a problem for Pascal Siakam. It's a problem for Jimmy Butler. It's a problem. Yeah. And I don't think you want to mess with that cat. And if he can get to 30 minutes, you really don't want to mess with it. So, you better make your hay when he's on the bench.
So you're looking at this right now. If the Cavaliers were to play a playoff series right now against either the Knicks or the Magic, I think you've got to favor both. I mean, the Knicks for sure. Yes, sir. I think I'm favoring the Magic too in the series, even though they have no playoff experience. They're just playing better. And defensively,
I have to see. Tyrese is still too up and down. He was really good the other night. Mm-hmm. He was just not good last night. I think he finished with 12 points, but six of them came in the last like 30 seconds of the game on two threes. They were great shots, but he was not existent. He was passing great, not defending so much, and not playing well and shooting well. I like Indiana if Tyrese playing great. I don't if he's not.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cleveland's in they're heading the wrong direction right after they're doing so well. This is the league.
And not at a good time, right? Not at a good time to be heading the direction they're going.
No, we're
2 weeks.
Yeah, we're almost in April.
This is not the time they want to be faltering. So we'll see if they figure it out. So conversely, it is possible. And I would say there's a good chance, maybe slightly worse than 50-50, that New York and Cleveland and Orlando both get home court advantage in round one, which would be outstanding and wow. Cleveland. Remember we talked about this weeks ago, David, when they were playing well. I was like, Cleveland, okay, they made the playoffs last year. Everybody excited. This is the year. They should win a round. Look how quickly things change on a dime in this league.
Yeah. Health matters.
Yeah.
Especially when it's Donovan Mitchell getting hurt.
Yeah, for sure. All right. You said the Heat are coming. Do you think they can get into the top six? Their last 10, 4-6. They did it. They had a win last night. There's something about them, whether it's Jimmy not as good maybe in the games he's playing. Bam's been fine. Something's just not clicking with them offensively.
Yeah, they're not good offensively. I remember I've told you this before probably. For like 3 years in a row when I was at ESPN, I did not think the Cavaliers would make the finals.
You're like, I'm not betting against LeBron anymore. Dumb.
Correct.
And you're not betting against Bam anymore.
I'm not doing that again. Correct. I have questions. I have questions for sure. Some decisions he's made this year for the team. But they're not a team. History has to make you worried that they're going to figure some stuff out. Their continuity is there. Rozier was a monster for them the other night. Mm-hmm. DeLon Wright's important. Those guys, like, I think they'll get stronger as they get more and more playing time together and will be formidable by mid-April.
The Sixers are also basically they're tied with the Magic. They're half a game back of that top six. They had a big win against the Clippers on Sunday. No Joel Embiid, so that, you know, this team, they're doing nothing significant in the postseason unless that dude's back. But even without that, only being half game back and with Tyrese not playing great for Indiana right now, is it possible they could sneak in as well, especially if Cleveland keeps dropping? So Cleveland and Indiana both potentially drop out of the top six, and Miami and Billy sneak in.
I mean, I don't think it's likely to see any surge from any team. And so you probably end up seeing what you're seeing now. Tyrese is a big X factor, in my opinion. Embiid would be a bigger one if he were to come back. But I don't think anyone thinks he's coming back for the regular season.
No. I mean, they've been very coy about it. Like, oh, no date. Right. I'm like, yeah, but even when he comes, what's he going to look like? Not 38 and 20 like from day one.
So Indiana's on a road trip now. They beat Golden State. They lost to Lakers in that game with all the fouls. They play the Clippers tonight. That's a big game for Indiana. Siakam has really kind of turned a corner. He's been a monster for them. I think he had 16 rebounds and 20-some points the other night against Golden State. Last night he had 36 and 12. He was he and AD were just dominating players. But they need Tyrese or it doesn't matter. Yep. Miami, Kevin Love's been out. Thomas Bryant's actually been playing pretty well for them. Jaquez has kind of come down to earth a little bit. If I was guessing, I would guess Miami would be a little bit better, but they have to be because they're a game down. Mm-hmm. So, and I haven't looked at it. To me, it's a lot who they play matters. Yep. And I've not looked at that yet, but, I could see any team winning at 5-6 over 4-3.
Yep. Yep.
6 can beat 3 in any scenario. Five can be four, whoever those teams are. Mm-hmm. That's how bunched up they are.
Yeah.
Which would be great for the playoffs.
No
great
doubt.
For drama.
And kudos, by the way. Look, the plan, we know it was successful from year one. And this is why.
It's amazing.
This is why late in the season these games matter. Because if there was no plan, it'd be like, whatever. Who cares? I'm just going to.
We're all talking about it. Absolutely right. We're all talking about it. It's really interesting in the West, which we'll get to.
Yep.
Because of potential matchups.
No doubt. So let's look at the Western Conference. We mentioned Draymond said, no worries about the Rockets. Okay, well, they're only a game back of you right now. They're at 500, and the Rockets have a top 10 defense. Those guys can guard, and Ime has them competing on that end of the floor. Jalen Green, we talked about him last week. He's playing very well. I mean, no one in the world can guard that dude. That April 4th game's going to matter. The Warriors have, as we said before when we were talking about the Kerr and the Curry minutes, they're just an okay team. And I don't know if an okay team of old guys is enough to stop a charging young team. And it's not like they have to come back from four games to catch them. It's a game. And it looms at that one game they play against each other head-to-head. That might be the difference, right? Where it leapfrogs one over the other. And then I'm like, well, these guys are pretty good now. And, you know, for the Warriors, they're going to have to feast up on whoever they play that's beatable. And they got San Antonio coming up, so they better get a win there. All the teams that are bad, it's like feast on them and hope they do better than – they're going to have to get a win or two against the a solid team. And I just don't know that they, as constructed right now, are good enough to beat solid to good teams.
It is the case most of the time that rookies can't be counted on to deliver wins. And so they depend on Brandon Podziemski. Mm-hmm. Is that his name? Yep. Podziemski. I don't think that's good. I love him. Hustle, right. Hard, high IQ. If you look at his EPM chart, mm-hmm. you're going to see a lot of negatives lately. Sure. He played really well against Indiana, but that was not even a competitive game late in the game. It's hard. It's a hard league, and he's young, and he plays a lot of minutes for them, important minutes. Mm-hmm. It's a real concern. Their identity is different. Looney doesn't play a lot.
Wiggins is not.
I do like good. Trace Jackson. No, Wiggins is up and down, mostly down. I love Trace Jackson mm-hmm. Davis, not as a rookie.
Right.
Not to help them win. Right. I've been, yeah. Kuminga's mostly been terrific. He was overwhelmed. Siakam destroyed him one-on-one in Golden State the other night, but he's been really good. Mm-hmm. I wrote about him last mm-hmm. week. I'm a fan. Draymond, like you almost don't even notice Draymond sometimes
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clay too. Clay has his moments. Right. He's amazing, right. but he just, this is Father Time.
For sure.
And, I mean, we wrote an article a few months ago of trade Steph Curry. Imagine building around Brandon and Kuminga.
Ooh,
and
now you're talking. Now you're talking.
I think so. I think they should have done it, but that was
yeah, yeah. too late for that now. You know, looking at the Western Conference also, David, we had a call on our content discussion this morning. Who wants that top spot where the likelihood is they're going to get probably either the Lakers or the Warriors in that eighth spot, or the Lakers or the Mavericks possibly? So Denver right now has the top spot. They're a half game ahead of Oklahoma City. And Minnesota's only a game back. So those three teams still can finish in the one spot. Who wants the number one seed? And who's like, I think Denver doesn't really care who they play. I think they're pretty confident we'll beat anybody.
I agree with you. Whereas I think the Lakers give OKC a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets will smoke those teams out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that it'll matter. OKC will be better against anyone but the Lakers, I think.
Yeah, because they played four times this year. OKC only won once, and that was for their first matchup of the season in November. So, you know, the teams weren't, although you could argue the Lakers were better then when they were early in the season. The older guys were a little fresher, but that the size, I think, is a problem for them for sure. They get beat up. I do wonder, though.
And experience. Mm-hmm, and experience.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
They could drop to the three spot. And I mentioned, does OKC want Phoenix? And, you know, not a lot of people are sold on. And I'm like, look, those three dudes are still really good, and it's hard to stop them.
I mean, that would not be...
Not ideal.
I think that'd be a tough series. I think it'd be a tough series because we can speculate about OKC in the playoffs, but it's challenging speculation because they have so little experience there. We don't know. Normally, everyone needs reps. I mean, KG couldn't win in the mm-hmm. postseason. LeBron could win in the postseason.
Everybody.
Dirk. It's hard. And just OKC hasn't done it. That being said, they've been remarkable this year, and their style of play is great and challenging and all of that. But I mean, KD does not have a great record lately
in
the postseason either. I just don't think that would be a 4 or 5 game run out. I think you'll be very competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we might have talked about it last week. It would be Clippers, Pelicans. You'd favor the Pelicans right now, right? Now, Brandon Ingram is going to be—he's out and has to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So that matters right now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So that matters right now for them for sure. And I wonder—they're 2 games up on the sixth spot, which Phoenix has right now. I wonder, although Zion's playing really well, he may be enough to carry them, and it won't matter for those 2 weeks.
I was just going to say that this is. This is probably the X factor of the playoffs in the West. Jonathan Isaac in the East, Zion in the West. Yeah.
And if you look at the last thing on the West, if you look at 6, 7, and 8, so it's Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas, all separated by half a game. Who locks on and holds on to that sixth spot, do you think? Is it Phoenix, Sacramento, or Dallas? Sacramento and Dallas are in 7 and 8 right now, so they have to climb up. Only half game.
I haven't looked at schedules, but normally with this late in the season, it's hard to make a jump. Phoenix has enough scoring power. Dallas is definitely playing better. Phoenix is too. I think they're 7-3 last
they
game.
Are.
Games.
All those games are going to matter because they all play each other, by the way, in the next 10 days. So those head-to-heads are gonna matter.
Yeah, they could beat each other up, though. I wonder historically how often there's a shakeup of when there's a two-game cushion with 13 to play. It's not happening a lot.
Okay, no, no.
Because they're all so close to begin with. There's a reason for that. They're winning two of three most times now down the stretch, maybe even 50%, depending on who they're playing.
Yeah.
It's hard to make up ground.
No, it is for sure. So, guys, folks, what we're saying is make sure you're locked in. Like, these last 12, 13 games, they're all, except for Boston, they all matter. Boston probably going to start resting.
There'll be a lot of dramatic games coming.
Yeah, we got to see who wants where. And as David mentioned before, there's going to be some games going on about positioning. Where do I want to finish in the? And you know what I say about that? Be careful, because you mess around and then now you're stuck with someone you didn't want, and well, too late. You know, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, and you're losing breeds, a little bit of frustration with guys. It's not easy. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of great games coming up.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk. All right, folks, enjoy the games. We will see you later in the week. Take care.